Disc 7.
Chapter 24. Barrels, barrels, any barrels to sell? The Persian's narrative continued. I have said that the room in which Monsieur le Vicomte de Chagny and I were imprisoned was a regular hexagon, lined entirely with mirrors. Plenty of these rooms have been seen since, mainly at exhibitions. They are called Palaces of Illusion, or some such name. But the invention belongs entirely to Eric, who built the first room of this kind under my eyes at the time of the rosy hours of Mazenderan. A decorative object, such as a column, for instance, was placed in one of the corners, and immediately produced a hall of 1,000 columns. For thanks to the mirrors, the real room was multiplied by 6 hexagonal rooms, each of which in its turn was multiplied indefinitely. But the little sultana soon tired of this infantile illusion, whereupon Eric altered his invention into a torture chamber. For the architectural motive placed in one corner, he substituted an iron tree. This tree, with its painted leaves, was absolutely true to life. It was made of iron so as to resist all the attacks of the patient who was locked into the torture chamber. We shall see how the scene thus obtained was twice altered instantaneously into 2 successive other scenes, by means of the automatic rotation of the drums or rollers in the corners. These were divided into 3 sections, fitting into the angles of the mirrors and each supporting a decorative scheme that came into sight as the roller revolved upon its axis. The walls of this strange room gave the patient nothing to lay hold of, because apart from the solid decorative object, they were simply furnished with mirrors, thick enough to withstand any onslaught of the victim, who was flung into the chamber empty-handed and barefoot. There was no furniture. The ceiling was capable of being lit up. An ingenious system of electric heating, which has since been imitated, allowed the temperature of the walls and room to be increased at will. I am giving all these details of a perfectly natural invention, producing, with a few painted branches, the supernatural illusion of an equatorial forest blazing under the tropical sun, so that no one may doubt the present balance of my brain or feel entitled to say that I am mad or lying or that I take him for a fool. It is very natural that, at the time when the Persian was writing, he should take so many precautions against any spirit of incredulity on the part of those who were likely to read his narrative. Nowadays, when we have all seen this sort of room, his precautions would be superfluous. I now return to the facts where I left them. When the ceiling lit up and the forest became visible around us, the Viscount's stupefaction was immense. That impenetrable forest, with its innumerable trunks and branches, threw him into a terrible state of consternation. He passed his hands over his forehead, as though to drive away a dream. His eyes blinked, and for a moment he forgot to listen.